for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 26th, 2005. The speaker of the morning is Dale Copeland, speaking on Are You a Consumer or a Supplier?
Should this for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
As I was sharing with my wife on the way up here yesterday, I said, I cannot understand why there are people in this world that wouldn't want to serve the Lord. If life was only about a physical realm, if God only intended for you to live a few years and die, then the natural realm is a pretty cruel joke to just go through a rough process. God could have done it a different way, but see, I know I've said this before here, but God don't want you in the place that the church world calls heaven. Now, there might not be a place quite like they're calling it anyway, because a lot of man puts there's a lot of mythology in Christianity's religion. But God don't want you in a spirit realm without a body. If he'd have done that when he started the natural creation, that's what he'd have gave us. But God wants a man, a woman, he wants a physical being in a physical realm, and he wants to manifest himself through that physical being in this realm. Death is a malfunction. It's an abnormality. It's not the norm. And the church world has picked it up and just almost, they it's like painting something real beautiful over something ugly. Death is an enemy of God. It's not God's friend. He don't work with death. It's his enemy. Jesus came to destroy him that had the power over death. Romans chapter 5 says, sin came into the world. God ain't interested in working with sin. He don't want any of you to sin. Sin came into the world by one man, and death came by sin, not by God. Now God had already... Sometime I might come and teach on judgment. There's two kinds of judgment, and it takes place in three different locations, in three different realms, past, present, and future. And God passed sentence and said, the day you eat, you'll die. But God is not the one that caused death. That came because of sin. God did not desire man to die. He did not desire man to sin. And so, like I say, we're not to confuse the issue. A lot of people's living for a wrong reason. They're living so they can go to heaven. They're living for God so they can go to heaven. You ought to be living for God so you can express Jesus. What you're really saying when I'm living, I had a member of my family, you know, they didn't understand. You're not going to understand everything I'm going to say because you're hearing me once or twice or even two or three times. You're not going to understand everything that's said until you get... It's kind of like attending a math class, an algebra or geometry class, two or three times and thinking you're going to get geometry. You're not going to get it like that. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why do I break everything down at our assembly... Everything down at our assembly, and it's step by step by step, and sometimes I'd like to just get to the point. And I said, Lord, how come everything has to be broken down so small, step by step by step? And he said, you teach your children at home, and that's the way you have to teach them. You don't teach them 2 + 2 and then start on the multiplication tables. There are so many things for... We have to... We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are every... Listen, I like what Brother Jack Harris said. I believe it was Brother Jack Harris. It might not have been him, but somebody, I think it was. He said, when I learned the alphabet, I didn't walk around saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G all the time. But everything I did after that, everything I learned after that was built on that. So if you get holes in your foundation, if you don't learn your alphabet correctly, or if you don't learn your addition correctly, if you think 3 is a 2, it's going to mess up everything else that you're trying to build on. First thing you know, it's like building a building and you didn't use a plumb bob and it's leaning way over. So it's very important that we get the beginning of things right. And it's not just important that we get the beginning, but that we get the next step and the next step and the next step. And the only way to do that, see, you can't figure it out. I mean, there's one book and there's 10,000 religions and 100,000 interpretations, seems like, of that one book. You can't get it right by just searching just on your own, though we have to apply ourselves. But we have to get connected with the Spirit of God and learn the heartbeat of God, find out what the message of the whole book is, and not take a photographic flash of one place. Find out what God's whole purpose is from the beginning and to the end. And when you begin to see, I said it like this, it's kind of like a lot of times when we're doing something over there on the campground and we're getting ready to build something or something like that, I'll get a point. I'll have them drive a post down yonder, and I'll drive another one down here, and then I can look down them posts, and I can get in line way down there, 700-800 feet away. I can still get in line because I've got some reference points. Well, when God began this thing in Genesis and told what He wanted Adam to do, remember what He did? He didn't say, "Well, I don't want to get too strong. I want to be nice." Try to think of an easy way to say this. He didn't say, "I want you to just get by. I want you to just carry along. I want you to just understand you ain't here for long." You hear that today? "This world is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim here." You know you can sing a lie as fast as you can tell one. You sure can. God didn't tell Adam that the earth wasn't his home. Matter of fact, He put him in it and told him to have dominion over it. But Adam lost that dominion because he disobeyed God, because he sinned. He lost that standing with God. He was driven from the garden, from the presence of God. And so the purpose of Christ Jesus was to restore that which was lost. So now we've got what God told Adam to do, and we got what God told Jesus to do, and you can get a straight line. You think that all of a sudden it turns left? The church world will teach you today that, you know, you ain't here for long, so hurry up and, I mean, be sure and be ready and things like that. That's not the message God gave Adam, and that's not God's original purpose. And like I said last night, He hadn't changed His mind because sin happened. I don't think Satan has ever made God have to trash one plan. If Satan can make God have to trash His plan and come up with another plan, then Satan's more powerful than God. But I declare to you today that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was sufficient to set things back to the original plumb line and the original purpose. And so if you want to see what's out here in store for us in the future, all you got to do is look at what God made Adam for, and what He told him to do, and what Jesus come and demonstrated actually was dominion and power. And see, He didn't say, "I pray that they'll go to heaven." He said, "I pray that you don't take them out of the world." He prayed that the kingdom would come, and it did. And now the Scripture, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is where at? It's in you. Maybe Jesus don't know, because the preachers won't tell you that today. Everybody's waiting to go to the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. We're going to one in Matthew. It says kingdom of God. I think it is in Mark. I think it is. It says kingdom of heaven. One is just simply denoting what realm it is, in the sense that it's the spirit realm. The other one is denoting the ownership of that. Who's the owner? It's, in other words, one is denoting location. Kingdom of heaven is literally the place that God lives. Heaven means the abode of God, right? Well, where does he live? He lives in the spirit realm. But he lives in us. How can he live in the spirit realm and live in us? Because that's what this new creation is all about. It's a brand new creation that the spirit realm and the natural realm are occupying. God lives in us. We've been made one with Him. One with Spirit. You see? So, I want to share with you a little bit. It's not the will of God for us to take a photograph of a moment of our life and speak either success or disaster on that moment, on our life, because of a moment. Individual in our assembly recently lost quite a bit of money. They was swindled. Now, they could have got up and sang the blues and said, "Oh my, I don't know why God allowed this." Matter of fact, they said that was their first thought. "I pay my tithes, I give in the offerings, I do this and this. God, why did you let them cheat us?" I'll give you another story right behind that one right quick. Brother Miller knows, some of you know real well, Brother Donnie Morris. He drove to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he passed a place that had diesel pretty cheap. And so he told his wife, "I'm going to stop right there and get diesel when on the way back." It was 15, 20 gallons cheaper than anywhere else, you know. Drove all the way to Tulsa. Boy, when he come back, they'd raise the price 25 cents. He said, "I taught a series of lessons on don't get drunk. Be sober. Be vigilant. Don't be drunk on your emotions. Don't get drunk on your emotions." Because people get drunk and they become prey for the enemy. See, when something happens, they get drunk, they just drink up on their emotions. But I taught a series, like I say, on don't be drunk. Wasn't talking about alcohol. It's on the situations of life. Don't let your emotions take over. You have the power of God within you. It's your choice. So anyway, he said, "I just got drunk." He said, "I got mad. Here I was about out of diesel. Went all the way to Tulsa and back, and now they raised the price 25 cents, and he said, "I was so mad I wouldn't even stop. I didn't care if I run out." He said, "I wasn't about to give them my business, because they went up 25 cents in one day." Well, he took a photograph of a moment, and he got drunk on it. I mean, that's his words. The next day, the Lord blessed them in their business where they made profit of over $1,000, and he said, "I would have been thrilled if we would have made 700. I said, "See, what happens is we don't always know, just because there is something for the moment, we don't know what God is right behind that moment with." Here he was, if he had stopped and bought the gas, not got upset, just not got drunk on his emotions, he'd have spent $30 more than he would have otherwise, but God had $300, $400, $500 more coming behind. In other words, it was no sweat. It ain't no sweat to God to bless us and to keep us. See, Jesus faced many opposition many times, but there was always a blessing behind it. He didn't have to sweat the problem that looked like a problem at that time. And so many times over the years, I have had opportunity, and no doubt you've had opportunity to get upset over things that's going wrong in your life for the moment, but if you just trust God, God has good things in store for us. They're in store for us, and don't take a photograph of a moment and call it your life. It takes months and years for you to look at a life and say whether it's successful or not. Give God a chance. The Lord told me one time, said, "At least give me as much time to fix it as you took to mess it up." Well, Lord, I want it fixed now. But you took 10 years to tear it up. You know? You don't call your life a month of what you're going through. That's God always has the last say, folks. God always has the last say. So don't never hate your enemy. Understand that Jesus said, "Love your enemy." How can I love my enemy? Well, if I understand what my enemy's for, if I understand some of the things, let me just quickly say this. What would David have been without Goliath? Well, Goliath was an enemy. But you know what? It was an enemy that God had destined for him to overcome, and therefore from that sprang many things in God. So thank God. You know what? He could just look back, he could say, Boy, I love Goliath. That launched me into the things of God. Well, let's get in just in natural things. What was it? What would Vanderfell, he was a boxer, remember when Mike Tyson bit his ear off? You know what? Because Mike Tyson bit his ear off, that man became worldwide known. If he had never got his ear bit off, that ear getting bit off has made that man millions and millions and millions of dollars. Shoot, they sold the ear back on. But you know, you can, I'm telling you, Vanderfield don't hate to see Mike Tyson coming. Mike Tyson bit his ear off, but because of what took place, he is a super wealthy individual in that sense. You're going to hate your enemy. Your enemy's going to bring you success because you're going to overcome your enemy. And you're going to use your enemy as a stepping stone. Don't hate your enemy. What would Noah have been known for without the flood? See, don't hate your opposition. Use your opposition to launch yourself into greater things in God. The flood was something that could have been a negative thing, but because he overcame that, because he was faithful in that, because he was true to God in that, everybody knows about Noah, don't they? But there ain't too many people knows about two or three of them below him. Huh? I want to title this today, Are You a Consumer or Are You a Supplier? Are you a consumer or are you a supplier? Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn with me in the Scriptures, verse 11. Honey, if you get me a bottle of water, I'd be grateful. Meant to get it before I got up here. Brother Miller, if you'll let me know about 5 minutes to 12, I will shut her down at 12. Okay? At home, well, the brother that tapes, he's got a fan, big fan that says 5 minutes, and he holds it up. So I know when to... Because there is no end, so you just got to find one. I guess if they get tired, he probably just holds up the 5 minute deal. Said, if it's a boring sermon, just hold it up in about 30 minutes. 5 minutes. Said, get this over with. Huh? And I have said, you know, that's the fastest hour and a half I ever preached. Oh, my. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers, or pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, ministry is not always pulpit ministry. That's a deception. That's a consumer-minded religion. Most church people have is, I'm going to come and receive. I'm going to come and get. I'm not going to give nothing. I'm just going to be a consumer. See? So, but it's, they are, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I want to make a statement here. What most people do, and I've done many years in time past myself, is I come and I operate a gift. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, if they're not careful, they operate their gifts instead of leaving their gifts. It'll do you very little good for me to just operate my gift. It'll never bring the church into perfection or to the fullness of the measure of Christ if I just operate my gift. If I just cast out a devil, if I just get somebody healed, if I do things like that, thank God for the little bit that I will do, but I won't touch very many people. But if I teach everybody that I touch to do likewise, oh my goodness, how fast this kingdom increases. What Jesus says, like leaven? If I leave that gift, if I equip people. Now it takes time to equip people and you can't do it in a service or two. It has to be line upon line upon line. It needs to start somewhere and when you get to the finish of a meeting, they go home and they've got something they're equipped with. But the will of God is that He gave these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping, that word perfecting literally means complete furnishing. For the complete furnishing of the saints, for what? For the doing, that's what the word work means, for the doing of the ministry. What we have done in time past as pastors, and I've been around pastors all my life and been one for over 20 years, and pastors, if they're not careful, they want to protect their territory. You just well say, man, you know it's true. They want to protect their territory. I've seen pastors, I've been in churches where when God began to raise up other men and women and the Spirit of the Lord began to be able to use them, the pastor would begin to get jealous and afraid that maybe they was going to outgrow them or something. And it's almost like saying, look, you're a little kid, you stay down here, I want you to need me. Well, I'll tell you right now, as a pastor in our assembly, my goal is to get a people that is mature enough that they don't need me to help them all the time in every place in every way, but they are equipped so they can help others. I'll be a pastor. They ain't nobody. Listen, God gave me the place. He called me into this. I don't have to fight to keep it. I don't have to be jealous of my position. If they don't know I'm a pastor, if they don't know I'm their pastor, then I'm not. It's just that simple. I told them when I started over 20-some years ago, I will never fight or wrestle with anybody. I will never fuss with people to be a pastor here. If God hasn't placed me, if you don't recognize it, then I don't want it. So I've got no ulterior motive for anything except the increase of the kingdom of God. See, that's what we're after, is the increase of the kingdom of God. Jesus was interested in that we bear much fruit. That's what He was interested in, isn't it? So, like I say, a lot of times what we have, we've had people come through and my God, they pray for everybody. It seemed like everybody in the church was needing prayer. And that's an eye-opener to a pastor. You say, well, my God, I asked for prayer. Anybody needed prayer last week? And there wasn't nobody get up. Now we got somebody that's got a name that gift is operating through them, and everybody in the church is standing up waiting in line to get prayed for. We've got a mentality. I'm going to come to church Sunday morning. I'm going to sit down and I want to be ministered to. We've not got a mentality that I'm going to come and in giving I'm going to receive. First, I'm going to give unto the Lord glory and honor and praise. And if there's an opportunity and that's given me, I'm going to give what God has been given to me. What's amazing to me is in our assembly, I'll sit down, I'll just open the service, say the service is open. Obey the Lord. If you have something, God spoke something to you this week, you got a song, you got this, and people just sit there and look at me like you're doing right now. And I say, you mean God ain't talked to any one of you? I know what the problem is. It's you ain't talked to God. If you ain't got a lively word, I'm telling you something. I can't come into a meeting and not have something to say about Jesus. And I learned that real early in life when I first got saved, when I first got born of the Spirit. I tell you, man, if they gave a chance, I didn't know what to say, but I could stand up and say, I want to tell you I love Jesus. And sometimes I couldn't get that out for crying. And it embarrassed me and I just had to sit down because I'd sit down frustrated, but every time there was an opportunity to give, I wanted to glorify Him who had saved me. I knew I had been changed. And I was thankful for that, and I just wanted to express it. I didn't bull my way, I wasn't forward in that sense, but when an opportunity was made, I didn't let it pass. I wanted it written in the Chronicles of Heaven that there was never an opportunity given that He didn't take advantage of that to express His desire that I be praised. So, but as a whole, people are consumer-minded. I'll tell you, we'll explain that a little bit more here in a minute. The will of the Lord for us, and let me say it because I might forget to say it here in a little while, but the will of the Lord for us, you may say, well, my God, I've got so many problems right now, I have to be a consumer. There ain't nothing wrong with being a consumer. There's nothing wrong with being we're all consumers. Even a supplier is a consumer because he had to consume to have a supply. There's nothing wrong with being a consumer in that sense, but you don't become consumer-minded. And the will of God is for us to receive first, then retain, and then release. It's the three R's. Receive, retain, and release, you see. So the will of God for us as anybody in the fivefold gift ministry, is what we usually call the fivefold gift ministry, is to not just operate a gift, but it's to equip the saints so they can operate in the ministry. And a culture of consumer Christians has been developed in the church today in such a way that the scripture here in Matthew chapter, I'm trying to think, chapter 10, I think, verse 8, the last part of it is what I want you to see. Jesus said, "Freely you have received." What we read a scripture last night, "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Freely you have received. What's the next part of that? Freely give. Now that's not just money. That's the things of God. He was talking about, he was talking about that they had been given the power to heal the sick. They had been healed. They had been blessed. So blessed. Just that simple. Don't just be a dead seed. For almost one solid year, I had our assembly stand up and say this: I will not be the dead sea. Every service. I will not be the dead sea. You know what the dead sea is? It's a place where everything runs into it and nothing runs out of it. And you think, my God, how rich could that be if everything's running into it? It's dead because nothing goes out of it. Man, I'm telling you something. If you can get the spiritual side of that, if you're just a consumer, you're just going for a blessing. You know, going for a blessing. Like I said, the church has developed a culture of consumer Christianity. In such a way that people, here's what they do. They ask, how can this church serve me? We have people, you know, they've come for the first time to our assembly and you know what's going on in their mind. How can this church serve me? Instead of how can I serve this church? Huh? How can this church serve me? And if they're not asking it out loud, and sometimes they ask it out loud. What have y'all got for this, and what do you do here, and how can, you know, if they're not asking it out loud, they're thinking it to themselves. And here's how it goes. God sends us somewhere. He places every one of us in a body. I'm not talking about you coming to the camp for a few days, but I'm talking about when you go home and you be a supplier as well as a receiver. I'm talking about bringing increase to the kingdom of God, making the home church a better place because you've been here. You know, that'll make, you know what, when that begins to happen, that'll make the pastors of them assemblies want to send some more. God sends and places every one of us in the body as it pleases Him, right? He'll send us, place us in a group of people, and if we're not careful, the first thing we do is we look for how we're going to be served. Is the service times convenient? How long-winded is the preacher? Is the music good? You know, how am I going to be benefited for me being here? Can I be more benefited if I go over yonder so-and-so? Because, see, the Lord began to speak to my heart about people in our assembly. When you listen and you sit and you hear, pretty soon I want to know, why are you here? You passed 14 other churches to get here. Why are you here? Are you here because God sent you here? Because God placed you here? And if He sent you here, He didn't send you here to just sit on a pew. Just to be a consumer. Just to be a taker. Why are you here? Are you here because you like the music? Are you here because your family goes here? Are you here because it's close to home? You know, are you here because you like the teaching? Why are you here? And all of them reasons may be good, but they ain't none of them good enough to be here. We each one need to get such a fellowship and a communion with God and a place with God that God can place us where He wants us. God picked me up and moved me out of a swimming pool business that over 20-some years ago, I was making over $100,000 a year and moved me into the mountains where I was getting $40 a month. And I had to know why I was there. I did. I mean, it come to a place, I told my wife, I said, we can make it. We got enough money. We'll survive for 6 months with all the debt, and we was in debt and things like that. And isn't it amazing? With a whole lot less money, I don't owe nobody nothing. Now, getting God's way, you don't have to be in debt. Now, don't want to offend nobody, but it's the will of God that we be the head and not the tail. A whole lot less money. I ain't never made $100,000 a year since then, and I got more than I ever had. But God has ways of doing things. See, God will touch you. Listen, He has the last say. I took a flash, a photograph of a moment for a while, and I said, my God, you know, why have I brought my family to this mess? But I just couldn't see all the favor of God that just overtaken me. Just because for one moment, or for a little while, and it seemed like it was an extended while, but in 7 years, I had more than I had 7 years is a completion, and I don't know why it happened, but in 7 years I didn't know anybody, anything, owned their house and everything like that. I had more than I had before when we was making a lot of money. Go figure. Except God. I can't explain it, brother. But they just, you know, God knows how to supply our need. He knows how to give you what you need without it costing you near as much too. And there's a lot of things that when your heart changes, you don't even need the money for. All of a sudden, you don't have a desire and a lust for everything, every new gadget that comes out and everything that, you know, because you're happy, you're satisfied. Well, like I say, can I be more benefited over there or over here or maybe at that church over there? You know, who's going to give me the best service? Who's going to serve me the best? We do that with Walmart. We do that with other places. We go to places that we feel like we get the best service, the best bang for our buck, and it bleeds over into the spirit realm. See, I'm telling you, you can tell a whole lot about somebody's spiritual life by how they are about natural things. What about the placing of God? What about God sending us somewhere? Who cares about what God thinks? Who cares? Anybody care about what God thinks? See, because, like I say, when we all like to just be in love with our... We want our home church to be a place that, oh, we're just crazy about it. In other words, I'm getting served real well. Well, the home church that I began to pastor, I wasn't crazy about it. I did what the brother said. Body, you get in subjection. I just whooped it on. I mean, I'd worked 7 years to build a business. And when the first year that it was really going good, God says, I want you to get rid of that business and go down yonder in the end of the world. You know, it wasn't the end of the world, but you could see it from there, I thought. You know, I mean, really. My wife, she said we kind of live in the mountains. Well, you got to cross over to get either direction out from where we're at. We're in the mountain, in the valley, in between the mountains. But people said when we started building the church, they said, there'll never be a church here. There's been a lot of people tried, and they just won't be one here. I said, there's going to be one here because God said for me to come, and He didn't send me for no reason, and He ain't going to change His mind because it gets tough. One of the greatest supporters and one of the men in the church that has helped us the most, he helped us before he ever come to the Lord. Well, he helped us and helped us and helped us, gave us a place to live, a brand new apartment for 3 years, free. Just helped us and just blessed us. And, anyway, well, he told his wife when he first come over to church where we was in another building, and anyway, he said, that preacher will never stay. He'll starve out. And I said, you don't know. When she told me what he said, I said, he don't know the provision of God. I have meat to eat of. I have ways of receiving that he don't even know about. And it wasn't because I had lots of aces in the hole, so to speak, and I had lots of other things. I didn't have any of that. I had a trust and dependence on God that people would show up on our doorstep and say, here, the Lord told me to give you this, and it'd be exactly what I'd prayed for that morning. Man showed up. I hadn't seen him in 4 years. He said he had to chase me down. He had called 3 or 4 different people to find out where I was at. And he said, the Lord sent me down here, drove 180 miles. He said, to give you this. See, I mean, you don't have to do it. When you're trusting in God, I've told the people, I said, you can't starve me out because God is my supply. My goodness, they thought there was a famine in the land, and there old Elijah was being fed and watered every day. People that had houses was having problems. People that owned land was having problems. A widow that had a house, she had pots and pans. She had things to do things with. And here she was going to eat her last meal. And Elijah been eating well. God has ways of taking care of us. Are you a consumer-minded person or are you a supplier-minded person? We might call it a consumer or a retailer. Because what we are doing is we are selling, not for money, but we are selling you on the idea that Jesus is great. Jesus loves you. See, so we are selling you on the idea that you have the favor of God in your life. Well, if we're not careful, we have such a consumer mind that we don't think God would ever send us or have us to go or have us to be or have us to do anything that wouldn't benefit us the most. Or that it wouldn't make us feel the best. You ever think that God might send you right down and set you right down in the midst of all kinds of trouble because He wants a light in that darkness? We had a lady in our church. She One time she was needing a job. We prayed and the Lord gave her a job. She stood up and she thanked God. Oh, I'm so thankful for the job. God give me this. I'm so thankful. 2 or 3 weeks later, you know, I need you to pray for me because I tell you this is going wrong in the job and that's going wrong. And I tell you, I think I'm going to quit that job. You going to quit the job God gave you? I said, what do you expect? Things are supposed to be going wrong out here in the world. That's why God's sending us in. Here we are wanting to go to a place that there's no trouble, and we're the problem solvers. That's like a teacher having nobody to teach. Not wanting to teach, but just be a teacher. Don't make sense, does it? Here we are wanting, like I say, we don't want nobody in our face, and here we are supposed to be the light. We don't want nobody to treat us wrong, and here we are. We're the people that's supposed to go the second mile, but we don't ever want to be in the position where we need to. Isn't it amazing? What it amounts to is like this. I think Oswald Chambers said, we want to remain a full-orbed grape. We do not want to be crushed and made wine. We want to look beautiful, have the name and all that, but to make jelly or to make wine or to be eaten, you gotta be broken. We don't want anybody, we want to look sweet, we just don't want them to taste our sweetness. Because see, they can only taste your sweetness. Listen, the world can be sweet when everything's sweet with them, when everything's going good. They can only taste your sweetness in adversity. That's why loving our enemy is not to be hard. It's to be a joy because it's our time in the limelight with God. It's our time to show people Jesus. See, you talking to people about Jesus when everything's cool, it don't move too many people. But when you shine a light of love where there's hatred, when you shine a light, when you become a peacemaker where there's trouble, and sometimes you sacrifice yourself to do that, you become the grape that is crushed so the life of Jesus can run out and be seen. But isn't it amazing? God's people don't want this. We have become consumer-minded. Instead of supplier-minded. Listen, we are to be broken as bread to feed the hungry. And the hungry's not always nice. They don't even sometimes know they're hungry. And sometimes they hate you because you act like or seem like you've got it together and they don't, and they resent you, so they're going to see. I've had people in our assembly that wasn't saved. They've done their best. Because they know our financial circumstances at times and things like that. I mean, when we first started, they could look around and see there couldn't have been a whole lot of money in their mind that we was receiving or anything like that. And they would do their best to see if they could get me to do something just a little shady to make some money. Over and over and over again, people would bring me opportunities. Hey, you know, you can go in on this with me, and I'm going to make $1,500 on this, and I ain't going to have but $50 invested. Is it straight? Well, it ain't, you know, it's not illegal, but is it straight? Well, no, I don't want no part of it. Over and over and over. And I told my wife, I said, they are looking. They cannot believe, because this individual that I'm thinking about, he had had many experiences with other ministry, and they all were corrupt. And I said, this man serves the Lord now. But he wanted to be able to believe that Jesus really made the difference and that somebody could love God enough that they wouldn't bend nor bow for any other purpose or reason. And so he would try me and he would try me and he would try me. And I can't say that I wasn't tempted at times. Because sometimes there seem to be some pretty dire needs, and I think, my God, this has got, you know, that's how the enemy talks. This is the Lord sending him your way. See, I don't believe in taking advantage of people. If Brother Doc's broke, and because he's broke, he needs to sell something, because he's desperate, and he's got something worth $1,000, and because he's desperate, he's willing to take $100, and I'm so greedy, I say, hey, I'll buy that. Why don't I say, brother, I'll give you $100, and you keep whatever it is you got. Don't take advantage of somebody when they're down and call yourself a Christian. That's not straight. That's not brotherly love. That's consumer-minded stuff. What's in it for me? I had a brother one time. He had an air compressor, and he was is worth about $400 or $500. And the problem was, see, I didn't have any money either. He told me, he said, I'll take $50 for it. He said, I've got to have $50.
I said, it's well worth $50, brother, but I don't have the $50. But if I had it, I wouldn't buy it from you. I'd give it to you. Because I said, there ain't no need to take advantage of your, while you're down, of your situation. You're my brother in Christ. I don't want to take advantage of you so that I can have gain. You know, that impressed that man so much that years later, after they had left their church, they had moved and went moved into Arkansas, matter of fact, and stuff. I saw him years later, and he said, you know, he said, that always touched me. Are we consumer-minded or are we supplier-minded? A lot of times, we'll do something for the moment that'll ruin the eternal value of things. In other words, people will sacrifice their integrity for a little bit of gain. My God, you're burning your house thinking you're going to get a treasure and all you get's ashes. The little bit of gain is ashes because you sacrificed the valuable thing, which was your life and your fellowship and your integrity with God. See, this is kingdom. Kingdom is the realm of spirit. The kingdom of God is literally the realm of spirit. And the realm of the spirit is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. Isn't it? It's righteousness. I'm afraid a lot of times people think, surely God wouldn't send me somewhere, have me to do something that would sacrifice my comfort so someone else can be blessed. But He will. He will. And let me tell you something. You will never experience that if you're consumer-minded, because you will refuse to be broken as bread and poured out as wine. See, we will refuse that. Somebody's trying to reach out and touch us. There's no way we're just going to... Say hello. Says, answer that thing. All right. If you listen to this CD, cell phone was ringing. Might not be able to hear it on the CD. Let me tell you something. I think, and I'm not going to hold you much longer. I know. I'm going to try to be unusual. I said try. I think the church has forgotten how the early church was and what the early church went through. You know, did God tell Paul to go places that was comfortable for him? He said, okay, I want you to go to this church that the music's just right. You love the preaching. Man, the fellowship's beautiful. And they love your kids, or they love you, and they act like they appreciate you. Man, they shake your hand when you come to the door. You know, surely God wouldn't send me and make it my home church, where a place where when I walked in, nobody even come up and said, I'm glad you're here. Well, you know what? God might be sending you there so you plant that seed that would change that whole assembly. I'm telling you something. If you're not looking at how can I share the love and the life of Jesus, how can I give it away instead of how can I get more from God, how can I figure out how I can get some more blessings? Listen, the blessings is going to come as you give it away. That's when you are sharing the life of God, when you are giving, when you are being broken, you are sowing a seed in the great harvest field of God Himself. And He refuses to have a crop failure. My. You're guaranteeing yourself blessings if you're doing it for the right from the right heart. When it got hard for Paul, how many of you think he said, God, I think you've done enough for these people through me here, and I know I've had enough here. I'm out of here. I'm headed for greener pastures, you know. I'm finished here, Lord. It's got too hard here. Ain't going to have that. I don't want to be here. I despise these people. You know, they don't appreciate me. Sometimes and like I say, now, there's areas of our life, and I need to reiterate this again. There's areas and places in our life where we're at a level of growth. Everybody's not at the same level. But some will be at a level of growth that you cannot face one more rejection. And you need to be affirmed. But let me say something to you. If you will become an affirming person to someone else, you will face less rejection. If you will start giving out what you desire to receive, you will start receiving what you're giving out. That's a law of God, of the kingdom of God. It's the law of the universe, sowing and reaping. If you want to be loved, isn't it Proverbs, if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly? If you want to be loved, start loving somebody. Just start caring for somebody. I'm simply saying, let's get out of this frame of mind. I'm here. You know, I've seen people that come to church, and boy, they just get there in time when the service starts, and they flop down. And say, it's like, God, you're lucky I made it on time. Now you can bless me. Here I'm here. Pour it in. Oh, I ain't preaching to nobody here, am I? You're so lucky I even made it, God. If I, you know, some people, they get 10, 15 minutes late, and they say, God, you're just lucky I got here at all. You ought to be blessed. And they, you know, and they tell me, you ought to just be blessed that I'm here. That's consumer minded. See, it had nothing, got nothing to do. People, we started having our services on Sunday at 2 o'clock several years ago. And there was a reason for it. Because we used to have it at 10 o'clock, and then we'd have it at 6 or 7 o'clock that evening and things like that. And I'd watch people. And they'd come in with their tongues hanging out. They seemed like everything in the world they had to finish doing that they didn't get done on Saturday. They tried to finish it on Sunday morning. And then they come in and just rush, rush, rush. And then get out at 12, 1 o'clock, something like that. And they go home and prepare a meal and do all these things. And after the meal, they want to sleep. But you get enough sleep, it makes you grumpy and tireder. And it's time to go to church. And they say, seems like Sunday is just such a rushed day. And I begin to pray about it. And what I come up with, or I felt like the Lord dealt with my heart for our assembly in that way. And I told them, I said, look, here's what we want to do. We're going to start having a service. We're going to have one service. And I don't care if it lasts 7 hours. But we're going to have one service. And I said, I told them this. It takes as much anointing for you to hear as it does for me to speak. And if you'll spend the time before the Lord, preparing for the service. When we come together, we're going to have a service. And we have had services last up to 7 hours. But God was moving. Almost always had them last for 5 hours for years. But then we had some people start driving 120, 130 mile every Sunday, and they didn't like them long services. And you'd be surprised how pressure works on people. You know, you kind of try to accommodate people. Now, if it goes 4 hours, it's too long. But I started this. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare. Have the time before. I don't want you going out and doing your work. I want you to spend time before God, before the service. Your lunch is over, so we've got all the way to supper time. We can just rejoice and have fellowship in the Lord. And you know, that worked so wonderful while people were doing that. But first thing you know, you hear about, you know, now they come in at 1 o'clock with the tongue hanging out. Because they've been busy using Sunday like Saturday. It's so easy to take a step. Pretty soon you went a distance away from something. But you didn't just run away from it. It's like the woman, I was telling the story about the woman, and the man says, I had never moved. That woman didn't just get in the car one day and sit over all the way over here. She scoots over a little bit, you know. Pretty soon she can't even reach him. That's the way we are sometimes in our fellowship with the Lord. You don't just shut it off. You just start leaning it up. You trim a few minutes off of here, an evening off of here. You know, well, I haven't got time to pray this morning. I remember a man who run an orphanage, made a statement one time. He said, I've got so many things to do today and so little time to do them, I can't afford not to pray. I have to pray because I'm going to have God to manage my time, to make it where things work efficiently. We've got to maximize our time. We've got to maximize our fellowship with God. We've got to understand that we're not here for our purposes. We're not here so God can bless us, though God wants to bless us. But what we've got to understand is that we're not here. You think you're here to be delivered. If some of you that's in needing that part of it, you may think you're here for that, but you're not here for that. You got to get that to go farther. See, that's not, I mean, you may be here for that, but that's not the end result. If your only purpose for being delivered is just to be delivered so I can just be delivered, then you're consumer minded. But what I want to do is I want to be delivered so that I might deliver. So that I might sow. I want to reap so that I might sow. My God, God's interested in increase in the kingdom of God. Let me just say this. I'm going to close. There's a lot of scriptures that I could take you, and I've not took you to many scriptures, but the fivefold gifts are not necessarily for ministry as we think of as ministry. But they are given to equip the saints for the doing of ministry. And I can take you in the Scriptures and show you, instead of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, most churches are operating on the 20-80% principle. You realize that, don't you? Or less. That's 20% or less of the people do all the work, do all the supporting, and 80% ride free, so to speak. How often do you in your church say, let me sweep the floor, let me vacuum, I'll clean the bathrooms for a month. Hey, I still do that in our assembly. I don't have to. I went to Illinois to a meeting. It wasn't a meeting, matter of fact. I went up there to help them work on a new building they were building. And everybody wanted to be ministers. And I was preaching every night there in their old building while we was working on the new building. And when I got up there, dust was 1/8 inch thick in the whole new building. And here they were wanting to paint, but everybody thought they was beneath sweeping the floor. And so when I got there, I just observed real quick things that we had to do. And they said, we want to paint while you're here. We want to get this building painted. And I thought, like this? And so I grabbed a broom and I said, okay. And I started sweeping. And I swept the whole auditorium, cleaned it all up and everything. And some of the elders come by every once in a while, they kind of snicker. So when I preached that night, they were my message. Really, they weren't my message. But I told them, I said, I want to let y'all know something. I did the most important thing on this building today. And they just kind of... And I said, you know what? There wasn't another thing could be done until this place was cleaned up. And it takes every bit of it, from keeping the trash out of the bathroom, picking up trash, bending over. I used to tell them during camp, I said, look, you can bend your body over and pick up a piece of trash that somebody else dropped because they wasn't mindful enough. I said, we don't have to look like bums. And we're children of a king. We're royalty, and we can act like we're royalty. And if you drop it, pick it up. You should not have to be told or wait for somebody else to serve you. See, if we don't start equipping people to be servants, to be givers, suppliers, we're going to always just labor under the load of a few trying to take care of the many. But I don't care. You know, there was a time in my life that I thought, well, I paid for it. I paid for the privilege. Shoot, we go to motel rooms and stuff. We fix the beds. We wipe up, clean up, so they don't know we've been there hardly. Clean your table when you go to the restaurant. Well, that's what they got. It don't make no difference. You're different people. Be a giver. And don't leave a napkin that says Jesus loves you and leave them 50 cents. My goodness, that used to, you know, we real religious people, we'd go out to eat with them, and all these gospel messages they was leaving for these waitresses, and they'd leave them a quarter or 50 cents. And I said, my goodness, what a shame. And, you know, I'd be ashamed to tell somebody Jesus loves them and give them 50 cents. I said, if you're going to say Jesus loves you, put a $10 bill in it. Many's the time I leave a far bigger tip than we pay for the meal. Why? Because I want people to know. Not because I got a lot of money, but because I don't want to take... It don't matter what station of life somebody is in, I don't want somebody to serve me and not be blessed. I want to bless them. You say, well, that's supposed to do that. Well, Jesus talks about us doing what we're just supposed to do. He said, that's an unprofitable... You're anointed for ministry. That's what you're to be equipped for. And I'm not talking about just pulpit ministry, but I'm telling you something. Like I said, if you're only wanting to be delivered, listen, God wants to deliver you so that He can launch you out into other areas so that you can set captives free. What Jesus told His disciples, He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, freely you have received. Get busy. Freely give. That don't mean jump out here as novices and stuff. It means get equipped. Now there's people that goes trying to do things before they're equipped. And I'm not talking, please hear me. I'm not implying for you to run off half-cocked, full of pride and arrogancy and think you know it all because you got delivered. But I'm saying dedicate yourself to becoming educated in the things of the Spirit. Commit your life. If that's the most important thing in your life, then commit your life to knowing about it. You'd be amazed how many people does not know the voice of God. If you look in the first five chapters of Acts, you'll find out the apostles were the ones doing the ministry. And the Bible says God added to the church. I'll just quickly. I'm going to shut down here. Acts 2 and 41 says, Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added. Acts 2:47 says, And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Acts 5 and 12, the hands of the apostles, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And verse 14 says, And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. What we see here is the apostles operating their gifts instead of equipping others. And the scripture said God added to the church. But if you look from 6 on, when the disciples turn some of the ministry over, they turn the ministry over to the people and said, choose you out amongst you. But it wasn't just for that, but they said, it's not meet, we should leave the Word of God. In other words, they should have been equipping. And look here what happened here. He said, it says in chapter 6, verse 2, the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Let me go on, for time's sake, skip quite a few. Let's go to verse 7. And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples, not were added, multiplied. Now, words mean something. When something's added, it's added. When it's multiplied, it increases dramatically. Multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. In Acts 9:31, it says, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. And in Acts 12:24, the Word of God grew and multiplied. After chapter 6 in Acts, it don't say added anymore. God multiplied. Because what they done was they began to equip others. See, I can only touch so many. But oh, if I can get some people equipped. See, I've got a different mentality than a lot of people in this sense. I'm not interested in filling our building up so I can say we've got a big church. I don't care. Listen, if you go out and you touch other people's lives and other churches grow, that's fine. And the thing is I want the increase of the kingdom of God. I'm not just interested in me increasing. God's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of our assembly. So I don't have to be dedicated to try to be the biggest, biggest thing on the block or in the territory or in the country or in the county or anything like that. Don't have to try to be any of that. All we got to do is see that increase comes to the kingdom of God. I don't have to be under my name. Be a supplier. Be a supplier. One more little old nugget. I was praying the other day, speaking to my body, when I get up in the morning, it's been my practice to speak to my body, speak to my joints, speak to my health, my heart. Praying and talking to the Lord and said, you be loose, you be free, joints. I told my body, I said, I command you to be healthy and to return to your youth. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you don't want that. And I thought, oh, yes, I do. God, you may not be having a problem with this, but yes, I want that. And the Lord said, no, you don't want that. I said, well, what is it I want? And He spoke to my heart and He said, Elijah outrun a chariot when I moved on him. A young man couldn't have done that. He said, you don't want your body to return to its youth. You want it quickened by the Holy Ghost. He said, you want the very cells in your body to be changed and transformed, to be made alive by the power of the Holy Ghost. You want to be metamorphosed. Pardon me. Be you transformed, metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 8 is where it says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. Romans chapter 8 verse, 9, I think, somewhere in there. Romans chapter 12, isn't it, where it says 12 and 1, where it talks about, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you don't need your body to return to its youth, because even youth, they have a dying body. Death's working in, though they may be full of vim and vitality, death's working in them. You need to be changed. You want to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you something, you need, you know, it's the will of God that this mortal, put on immortality, that which won't die. This mortal, like I said, not one coming out of the grave, that ain't immortal. I said that last night. But this mortal, this that is dying, it's the will of God that it be brought, because see, that's what Jesus paid for, was He brought us back to what Adam had before Adam sinned. That's what He bought. And that's good news, folks. Good news. When you talk about the good news or the gospel of the kingdom, the good news is that Jesus, He left nothing unpaid for. He bought everything back Adam lost. Everything. So whatever you think that was going to take place with Adam had he not sinned, that's our destiny. That's ours. Bought, paid for, already signed, sealed, and delivered. Like I say, it ain't even held up in court. The Holy Ghost has been given to enforce it and bring it about. Praise the Lord. I hope you've received today. God bless you. What a joy and a privilege to be here and to share with you and to see. Be increased in the Lord. If you could just hear my heart. Brother Glenn, my heart is that people, the kingdom of God, the realm of the Spirit would become so of such great value to you that you'd seek it first. Matter of fact, that's what it literally means, is value first. Value that first. So when you're facing a situation that's hard in the natural, somebody might be striving against you, value first the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
And you know what that'll do? That'll make you a peacemaker. Amen. And you know what that'll happen? What'll happen then? You'll be called the whales, the mature sons of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for this opportunity and this time. Oh, my God, You who inhabit us and we dwell in You, thank You for the privilege, the love, the mercy, and the kindness, the grace that has been showed unto us. I bless this people. Lord, may the words of life find root, that we be suppliers of Your glory, not just recipients. My God, that we be harvest fields where seed is coming up that's bringing forth fruit unto You. And I bless this food of the natural. Thank You for the natural provision for our life, Lord, for our bodies. I bless it to its intended use. We thank You, Lord, for this campground. We thank You, Lord, for Brother Glenn. I speak health and life unto him in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak life. Oh, may the destiny of the Lord progress and abound in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.